little velvet strips against their door jamb.
Yes, I would love to do that. All right, episode 267 of Way of the Warrior, this time around brought to you by Celebration Cinema, online at CelebrationCinema.com. Their next crack at UFC will be in May, the big fight between Jones and Rumble Johnson, which we will be on hand for. I know, right? We were on hand last week with the Pettis Dos Anjos fight. A lot of fun there. We did some meerkatting afterwards to talk about what happened and all that sort of insanity. So we will do much of the same when we are back in May. It is Way of the Warrior. Your MMA show.
Yeah. Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
And it's all over!
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground, and pound by
O'Gara. I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
Way of the Warrior, Eric Hulkrin and Ken Evans covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. And it sounds like Obi-Wan Kenobi will be returning at some point. He has essentially quit his job to rejoin Way of the Warrior.
Is that it, really?
I believe that's... well, I mean,
what is his job? Hiding from the government still, or what's going on?
That's part of his job, as it always has been, but I believe he will be quitting that job in order to join us at maybe next week or the week after. So that'll be exciting.
Did he get jealous about all the Brock Lesnar talk we've
had? He did get jealous that he doesn't get to talk about the WWE Network or Brock Lesnar nearly as much as we do. But what an insane weekend as Anthony Pettis retains his title. I'm kidding. He didn't retain his title at all. Rafael Dos Anjos absolutely trounced Anthony Pettis for all five of the rounds after breaking his orbital. Both men are out for a pretty decent amount of time. Dos Anjos has an ACL deal he's got to deal with, so he'll be out 6 to 8, I believe.
He said he went into the fight like that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, right?
That wasn't something that happened in the fight. He said he went into it like that.
Which is scary enough to think about. Anthony Pettis out with that broken orbital, which will be about 3 months.
He's got as many parts of his orbital bone now as you had syllables in that version of orbital.
That's very true. Thank you for that. Your thoughts on the fight? I mean, I don't think you did not pick. I was undefeated, so clearly you did not pick Dos Anjos on Saturday night. You picked Pettis. So your thoughts when you were watching that?
Next time UFC comes to a guy and says, "Hey, do you want us to sort of allude to your nickname or your name on the poster?" Say no. Because Showtime didn't really work out that well. And Welcome to the Show didn't really work out that well. So it's just interesting to kind of watch this weight division right now. Because as much as I think Rafael Dos Anjos was such a dominant fighter in that fight, you got to now wonder, okay, who's paying to see him now? And I love the fight and was dominant. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I can't add anything to everything that's been said all week. It's just an interesting dynamic here because you thought Anthony Pettis was the best in the class of the division and the UFC thought so. So, okay, we're going to ride this guy's coattails and make him a pay-per-view draw and really run on the pay-per-view with him. And you kind of saw what happened. So, and he apparently did it to a guy with a bum leg.
Well, yeah, and a guy with a bum leg, and I, to your point, the way it looks, all things being equal, it'll be Rafael Dos Anjos and Khabib Nurmagomedov will be the next title fight, which, if you want to talk about something that it's going to be hard to sell, that's going to be very, very hard to sell.
As much as I love, and what's interesting is this will be the one instance where I kind of come in as that casual fan, I just love watching Nurmagomedov fight. I mean, dude literally fought a bear when he was a kid. Okay. Dude, that's all I want to see in Embedded and Unleashed and Tonight and all the other UFC's things that happen. I just want to see him wrestling that bear. And then I'll buy the pay-per-view.
I think it'd be better if you're going to do Embedded, just like all of the animals he's fighting in preparation of fighting.
They've got some bears down the block here, down at DeVos.
They do.
This weekend, if you want to go wrestle some.
Is that because you want to wrestle them? Or
no, okay. I think it's a hunting expo. They're probably going to kill them by the end of the weekend.
That's
I'm not exactly sure.
Use
all the meat, though. That's the thing we do, to make sure that it's not for waste.
Yes, that is absolutely the thing.
And don't send a tweet, or I doubt anybody from PETA is listening, but we're not actually going to kill the bears. Other people will.
The co-main event, we'll move past the bear murder here. Sorry. On Way of the Warrior. Co-main event, Carla Esparza, also successful. Wasn't successful at all.
No, wow, she just got walloped, didn't she?
Johanna Jędrzejczyk, I don't know that I've... Again, I was equating it on Twitter, and you're probably either going to adamantly agree or yell at me right now because we haven't talked about this prior. I was referring to this as the female version of when Anderson Silva took Rich Franklin's
title.
That's a
great comparison there. I mean, I think, and I'm not trying to take anything away here, but I think Rich was much more of a legitimate champion because we really don't know.
Yeah.
She won a TV show, and she did, and Dana White said that was the top 16, what are we, strawweight now?
Strawweight, yes.
Top 16 in the world at strawweight. So essentially it had to be a tournament, but wow, she looked out of her league in there.
And, you know, if you watch the show, and you and I have talked about this so much that I almost don't want to continue to talk about this, but this formula of the Ultimate Fighter, you watch a guy or a girl just run through everybody. Carla Esparza, number one draft on that show, and just beat everybody and then gets the title, right? And so you think to yourself, oh, she's going to be a world beater. Remember a guy named Uriah Hall? Totally going to be he just killed everybody in the house until he met Kelvin Gastelum, and then he didn't end up winning the Ultimate Fighter. Kelvin ends up being a guy who's a contender at 170 if he could keep the weight, might be moving up to 185. The point being, once you get to that final fight, even if you get past that final fight, it still really hasn't proved much, because there along comes a woman from Poland who just is going to take your lunch, and you're supposed to be able to out-wrestle her, and she just didn't take any.
Did you watch the weigh-ins?
Yes.
Because I don't know if I've seen somebody totally screw with somebody and then afterwards kind of shake their... What'd she give her? She gave her a gift, didn't she?
She gave... Well, because Carla's nickname is the Cookie Monster, so she gave her a cookie that was expired. So you couldn't even eat it because it was like essentially poisoning your opponent.
Oh, come on. An expired cookie? Is that where we are in this country? We can't eat an expired cookie? Come on now.
Yes. Well, I believe it had gluten in it and GMO.
Is that what it was? Yes, don't start with the GMOs. Don't. Let's not do that.
But I thought a fantastic performance from Johanna. But again, to talk about Rafael Dos Anjos and Johanna Jędrzejczyk, say that 3 times fast, you know, you've got two people that it's going to be really, really hard to build a brand on. Like, Jędrzejczyk, I thought, was really, really interesting in the embedded and kind of endearing, and you wanted to see what happened in this fight. Dos Anjos the same, but I just think it's not, unfortunately, it's not as marketable as a guy named like Anthony Pettis.
No, it's not. And she, you know, she's got that little bit of a curse that comes with those female fighters. If you don't have a little bit of that model look to you, it's going to be hard for fans to want to buy in. We've made no bones about this. The fact that Ronda Rousey is one of the best fighters in the world is the main reason she is where she is. But it certainly doesn't hurt that she can go act in movies and do bikini shoots. I don't quite see the same thing from this fighter. And I'm not saying they all have to do that. That's obviously sexist. You obviously don't want to have to make that a requirement. But I'm certainly saying the UFC's got a harder time marketing this fighter than they do somebody like Ronda Rousey.
Let me ask you a question about that, though. Jędrzejczyk, let's say, beats everybody in the strawweight division. Anyone they put in front of her.
And it looks like she's going to, the way she fought in that fight.
Right.
She's got... And you go back to the Jon Jones example. I mean, I've not seen a woman fighter with that type of reach before. And that Jon Jones archetype. As far as that body, because that's what we look at when we see fighters sometimes, where we talk about, or I'm sorry, you said Silva, but that Silva John
totally,
Jones
yeah.
type. And we haven't seen that with a female fighter until now. Who's going to go in there? Who's got reach to get in there? I mean, obviously you're not going to go put her in there with Ronda Rousey, but I'm not saying it wouldn't be an interesting fight at this point.
But I wonder, because we keep doing this, so I guess we'll keep doing it until it happens. You know, you wonder when you see Jędrzejczyk do this, and if she does this to everybody in the strawweight division, does she become Ronda Rousey or does she become Jose Aldo? You know, Jose, who really doesn't do gangbuster numbers in pay-per-view, but tears through a lot of people. He's done a lot of decisions in his last couple fights, but it wasn't until Conor McGregor showed up that everybody's like, here's my $70. I don't even know when you're fighting, but Conor McGregor's fighting. I don't care. He's might as well be
the champion.
Well,
you start seeing the videos. Well, it's interesting too, because a guy like Conor McGregor, and maybe we'll find this person in that division, I don't know, but it's interesting because a guy like Conor McGregor tends to bring the best out of some of the opponents. Or when guys get a lot of hype, dudes get pissed. And a guy like Aldo in that situation, he starts making video. I don't remember ever seeing an Aldo YouTube video making fun of a fighter before.
Nope.
But when you start to see the hype and you see a guy like Conor McGregor moving up and moving up and moving up, and you're the champion in that division, or you're fighting for the championship, I think at that time, I don't remember this timeline exactly, you get upset. You're like, why is everybody paying attention to this guy? And you kind of see fighters pull the best out of other fighters. Goes back to Chael Sonnen and Anderson Silva. Let's not forget, before Chael and Anderson fought, a lot of people were mad at Anderson Silva. We had that Maya fight years ago, and he was looking boring, and we didn't know what he was doing. Chael Sonnen comes in there, talks a lot of trash, gives him a fight. all of a sudden, wow, Anderson Silva's best. I want to see him no matter who he fights. And will we have this here? I don't know. I don't know enough about this division. We could be talking in another 6 weeks. That's how often they're going to probably make her fight.
Probably.
Because nobody really knows her. I mean, we could be here in six more weeks with another fighter in that division that we're talking about because, you know, we're not sure how good this division is or isn't at this point.
And that obviously remains to be seen. My point is when you look at the
way... It was the only finish on the card. I thought that was interesting.
You know, and when you look at this fight, you think to yourself, just like we've been talking, that she looks like a world beater. And if she is, it'll be interesting to see which person she becomes because all the way leading up to this fight, there wasn't much trash talking. There was a lot of her talking about her skill set, but there wasn't much talking about what a terrible person Carla is, or anything along those lines, what Chael did to Anderson.
Well, they were both unknown, too. I mean, even Carla
but,
coming off the Ultimate Fighter.
But, dude, nobody knew who Conor McGregor was until he started running his mouth.
Right, but, I mean, in this case, I think you've got a little bit of happy-to-be-here syndrome as well with both these fights. I mean, they're in a championship fight, good for them, but this is not something anybody paid for. This is not something anybody, you know, necessarily put their dollars in or bought their tickets to see. It's a nice addition, and we got to see a strawweight championship fight, and you start to build the division. So you're going to see some of that as well with the female fighters. I think there's a little bit of a difference, too, despite what Ronda's done, is for the most part, other than her and Miesha Tate, who, again, got pulled more into it with Ronda's trash talk, you don't see this a lot from the female fighters yet. Maybe we'll see more in the future.
Johnny Hendricks and Matt Brown also on this card with... you want to talk about a guy who was really surprising in Matt Brown looking like he didn't belong there because he just had no answers for Johnny Hendricks. On the opposite side of the octagon, Johnny Hendricks with a win, yes, but really not that interesting of a win. Certainly not one, and I know Dana said this in the post-fight, not one that automatically guarantees a title shot.
No, and I heard a lot of that right after the fight. I think I want to say it was Daniel Cormier on Fox Sports 1 said a similar thing, where what you want to see here, if you're a guy like Johnny Hendricks, he's in that elite level. He's in that division of fighters where you have to go out and you have to perform to go get your title shot. And he didn't necessarily do that in this fight. Obviously, we'll see how the welterweights shake out and who does what in the next couple of months. But, I mean, he didn't put his stamp there. He went out, he got the win, and you can't ever take that away from a guy. And Matt Brown's the dude we kept talking about. Well, is he a championship-level guy? He looks like he might be. He's top five at this point. I thought he should probably be higher than that, considering some of the wins. And Johnny Hendricks went out there and beat him. So, it's a double-edged sword, as it often is, once you get to this championship caliber of a fighter. Yeah, you go out and winning's not easy. It's like the NFL. The UFC is the same deal. Biggest league in the world as far as that sport goes. It's not easy week after week to win in the NFL. It's not easy to go in the UFC and get a win in the cage, especially against a guy like Matt Brown. Did it look ugly? Certainly.
Were you surprised by Matt Brown, though?
He
had literally nothing, answers?
I thought I picked him, so probably surprised. I didn't know we were keeping track. When we start doing that.
We were just picking, so I was just keeping track.
Luckily, I didn't keep track, or else you would have spoiled the fights for me before I got a chance to see them, because you kept tweeting me all night. By the way, if you want to be that proud of the picks, why don't you actually put some money down?
We will next time.
If you're going, no, not me. Go to Vegas, not, I mean,
go to
wager for fun here.
DraftKings.com.
Do we have a sponsor?
No, that's awesome. The UFC's crazy sponsor.
Oh, sorry. Do they have DraftKings?
Yeah, they do.
I don't know I don't think you can bet on DraftKings. Don't take the conversation in this direction. Just go find a book and get your money where your mouth is.
My point was,
I'm going to get tweets all night.
Were you surprised by Matt Brown's not being able to?
Yeah. Oh, certainly.
Yeah.
Certainly. I mean, and that's not shorting Johnny Hendricks. I just thought Matt Brown was underrated, and maybe he still is. Maybe Johnny Hendricks guys that fight like Johnny Hendricks are kryptonite for a lot of dudes.
Right. Yes.
Like they think they can do things. They think they can go in there and get their striking or their wrestling in, whatever their forte is in these instances. A guy like Johnny Hendricks, he'll just keep working and working. And even when he's looking ugly in a fight, which I think a lot of people thought in this fight, he's still in there. He's grinding the whole time. He's going to be in your face. He's going to take space away that you didn't like. He didn't go in there and knock him out or sub him, but he certainly won the fight.
Which was, for me, the most interesting part about the fight, because Matt Brown is an expert at that space. You know, you get him in those tight spaces and he's still able to do his thing, but he was not able to do anything on Saturday night. The fight I'm most excited to talk to you about is clearly the Reem and Roy Nelson. Now, let me ask you this question, right? Alistair Overeem, much more a tactician in this fight than he normally was, and clearly won the fight. So the question is, what Ream am I looking at? Am I looking at a Ream that is actually a
contender? I think you're in between Ream. I don't think we have that world beater Ream, but we also don't have that dude that just seemed to die half a round in. So maybe in between Ream's better for a couple of fights, because you expect one of two things, and you got neither in this fight with this guy. That's what I saw in this fight. And I sort of like the fact that he won, because you've still got that. I mean, a lot of people make fun of the fact that we talk about him so much, but the dude's a free agent essentially in 2.5 weeks. That's a fight that I could see Brock Lesnar taking and having a legitimate shot with. He's fought him before. He wants the loss back, so to speak. And I don't think this Ream is that guy that beat Brock before, and I don't think Brock's the same dude. So the fact that he gets a win means, okay, we can legitimately make this fight without too many people screaming and hollering about it, even though we know it'll do a million buys if they get Brock back in the UFC.
So what are your thoughts about Dana wanting it to be JDS next?
JDS Ream is a terrible idea. That's a terrible idea. In between, I don't know if good Ream could take on
in between
Ream. You don't want anything to do with JDS. I mean, JDS is in that unenviable spot where I think he's the number two fighter in the world, and he's probably not going to get a title shot for a while just because of the way the fighters and the rankings have worked out at this point.
And then the other interesting part of this story to come out is that Roy Nelson immediately told Dana White he wanted another fight, and he and Josh Barnett have verbally agreed to a fight. Do you like that fight?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Those are two dudes I'd love to see in there. I think Josh will take it. I think Big Country got past that point where we thought he was going to get in shape, and I think he settled into who he's going to be, which I guess is fine, and that's the fight you're going to get, is a fight with Josh Barnett.
What do you think happens in that fight?
I think Josh wins.
Hands down?
Yeah, I think Josh wins fairly, not easily, but fairly.
Because when I was watching, and this is why I asked the question, because when you're watching the fight, you used to watch Roy Nelson, and it used to be that Roy Nelson was a guy, and I know this is one fight, right? But it used to be you would watch Roy Nelson, and he would have a number of ways to set up that overhand right. And on Saturday night, it looked like
he was just throwing it.
It was just overhand right night. Like that, I was just going to make it as easy to telegraph what I'm going to do to you as I possibly can do.
Well, I know this will sound funny, but he didn't look like he was in shape for this fight. No, but that's not, what I mean. I mean, even for Roy Nelson, Roy Nelson was that dude that always went in there and he looks like a big dude and he's going to throw his right hand. But he looks slower in there. I don't know if Overeem was just. I mean, maybe Overeem's look was better than I thought he was in that fight, and he just couldn't find that opportunity to get up there against a bigger dude and throw any combos there. But I didn't think this looked like the Roy Nelson we've seen in the past that tends to be that lumbering bigger guy, but still seems to be able to get those shots in and set up combos. He was just throwing the right.
And then you see at the end, which was really weird, that you know he finally connects with that overhand right and drops Ream and then goes for a takedown till the end of the round and can't finish it.
He dropped him, but it wasn't the big
Roy
Nelson like, right hand landing. It didn't feel like it. Maybe that threw Roy off, like, oh, I landed it, he's down, okay, I guess I'll chase him down to the ground. I don't know. I think he throws that punch and usually that hits a dude, that's it. And you know, I give Alistair credit, that wasn't it in that fight, and he stayed with it.
I will say that he looked much better. Obviously, working with Greg Jackson is helping him out tremendously. His ability to set up the striking, I would have liked to see a little bit more jabbing and a little bit more combinations and perhaps a tad more aggression. He would have finished that fight, or at least gotten it to a place where he would look like he could finish the fight. But Roy Nelson, a super tough fighter, looks like he'll take on Josh Barnett next, and Ream will get fed to Junior Dos Santos in the interim as we wait for
well,
Kane.
Is that final, or is that like, oh, in two weeks, if we get Brock, he gets to fight Brock?
Here's the difference. Well, that is always the thing, right? But the difference between the two fights is right now Roy Nelson and Josh Barnett are talking to each other. The UFC has nothing to do with that fight. So that thing is like as Easter Bunny as you possibly can be, where this is a Dana White idea, so it has a little bit more legs in the JDS Overeem fight.
Yeah, I don't know. Dana says a lot of things about next.
More than two fighters talking on Twitter.
Yeah, but when two fighters talk on Twitter, we tend to see the fight.
Fair enough.
Because they want the fight, and Dana knows he can make the fight, and everybody can make money, and there's actual interest in the fight. Dana White's smart enough to know the fact that he says a fight's happening or wants a fight to happen isn't as interesting as two fighters wanting that to happen. That's when the best of both worlds can come together. If you want two fighters to fight and they want to fight each other, there you go. That's your Anderson Silva, Chael Sonnen, where those two guys want to fight each other. That's your Daniel Cormier, John Jones, where those two fighters want to fight each other. That's your interest level, not necessarily matching guys up because, well, that's where they're slotted and that's where I want to see them right now. So I think out of those fights, I mean, obviously the more interesting one to me is right now Roy Nelson and Josh Barnett. Not that I don't want to see JDS fight, but I think JDS Overeem is just, oh, we're setting JDS up here. Because I've told you this for what, since the last JDS Kane fight?
Right.
We spend the next year or two getting them to the fourth fight. So then we can then do the fifth fight, and I think that's a stair in the steps that get us there.
I don't think anybody wants to see that. I know I'm jumping ahead. Nobody wants to see that fight.
Yeah, though. That's what I'm saying, though. We've got to step in those stairs. You've got to see them fight again. They're still probably the two best heavyweights in the world.
A fourth time, though, really?
Yeah, but they're younger dudes. This isn't Tito Chuck 4. This is two of the guys that are still relatively in the prime of their careers. We'd see them the fourth time. It's not unheard of. It's not common. And I'm not...
It's not necessary. Nobody needs to see that fight, dude.
I told you this a while ago. I said we're going to get back to where he's going to be in the spot because I don't see the heavyweight division being able to stop JDS from being back in that number one slot again, in that number one contender position. I think he's the second best fighter in the world when you kind of look at everybody and all of those.
No doubt. I just don't – you know, he might have to be relegated to hanging out there. I don't think he's –
He will be for a bit. But you let him fight. Right. You let him fight Alistair now. Maybe then he can fight Brock. I don't know.
Huh.
You set him up with that Frank Mir fight. At a certain point, he's beating everybody else under him again, right?
Yeah, I guess. But I just think we all wanted never to see four.
I'm not saying four happens even this year or next year.
Or ever. Like, I want it to never happen.
Never happen. You want that to never happen?
Never happen. Okay. That's just me. I just don't. You don't need to see it happen. And hopefully.
Well, what if you see unimpressive performances from Kane in the next 2 years? What if Brock comes back and beats him? So would you?
Speaking of putting money where your mouth is.
But let's say somebody beats Kane and Junior beats that guy. Do you want four then if Kane works his way back up? I think there's opportunities for other dudes to beat them.
I might be okay with four if that's how it is. It's not Kane is the champ and JDS is the champ. It's two guys trying to work their way up. Okay, you can't deny that.
That's all I'm saying is happening here. At a certain point, we're going to get both of those dudes back to where you can't deny either of them. One's probably got the belt. That guy's probably Kane, and I know you don't want JDS in there again, but what do you do? Do you say no if he works his way back?
I don't know.
Where's our heavyweight rankings? I'd have to look at that again. But, I mean, essentially every guy in that division is under both of those dudes.
You do that. The main event kicked off with Chris Cariasso being absolutely destroyed by Henry Cejudo.
I think I did call that one.
You
didn't
did call
on that,
that
one?
One, yeah. I mean,
I said he's an Olympic gold medalist. Let's give him some credit.
You, like most people, said the toughest opponent was going to be weight, but he made it with 1 pound under. So
no, you brought all that up, and he was fine.
He was that's what I'm saying. Like
don't put this on me that I was worried about his weight. I wasn't that interested in the fight to worry about his weight at that point.
I'm
on board.
Yeah, like he just train wrecked Cariasso and obviously put some interest in that division to see Demetrius Johnson and Cejudo because of course the problem there is Lineker, right? Lineker can knock people out at that division, which is really exciting. He just can't make weight, and the UFC is just not going to take that shot. They're going to make him go up to 135, and if they do that, to me, the most interesting fight is something like this, where Cejudo ends up just being rocketed up to fight Mighty Mouse.
Oh, yeah, I told you last week, that's the story. You get an undefeated Olympic gold medalist against this Mighty Mouse, you put it on Fox. Don't try to make me pay for it yet. I'm not that in yet. But don't you think that's a great story?
Do not try and make me pay for this.
I love that storyline.
It's a great storyline.
It's the Kat Zingano undefeated storyline plus Ronda Rousey's Olympic medal storyline. You put him into one dude against this guy that people are hoping to kind of start to see get beat because he doesn't necessarily finish all his fights.
You know, and I think there's something, you know, and there's something to be said about when you hear Joe Rogan talk about Demetrius Johnson and how he's essentially perfect in everything that he does, and he should largely be considered the number one pound-for-pound fighter on the planet, but isn't because of the caliber of people he's fighting in his division, right? Like, nobody knows any of these other people, so it doesn't look as impressive as John Jones' resume of serial killers at 205 pounds, or Anderson Silva prior to this bust, right? Prior to that...
Well, it doesn't look as impressive, because John Jones is straight up murdering everybody that gets in the cage with him.
This is what
I'm saying. If this dude was... I don't care how much he weighs. If he's 125, 135 pounds, and he's straight up murdering other dudes that weight, everybody would be on board. Let's not kid ourselves here, but he's not, and he's a great champion, and like Joe Rogan says, he's perfect at what he does.
But don't you think...
But what he does is not straight up making dudes look like they're going to die in the cage.
But the other part of that, though, is much like if we go up to 45 when we talk about Jose Aldo. Jose Aldo is having a resurgence in his career because he found a foil.
Mm-hmm.
He found a bad guy, mm-hmm. right? Conor McGregor is just driving that train so that...
Why don't we have a resurgence for Jose Aldo yet? We've certainly got an interest in the division and the fighters.
What I'm saying is like, you know, when you have this, if Jose Aldo just trounces Conor McGregor, which I'm not totally convinced is a thing, but if he does, that's a story, right? This guy talked his way all the way up.
I'm still into that, by the way. I think Jose is going to make him realize he's not in.
If he does, but that's what I'm saying. Yet. If he does, and those two go, let's say they go five rounds and Jose finishes him in the fifth.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've got a story. You've got two guys that took it to the distance. Jose got the best in the last minute or whatever the story was. You can do that again, and now people are going to pay a second time. Right now at 125, there is not that story. Nobody's paying twice to see.
Is anybody paying once?
Well, there's that, but there's nobody in that division that you're like, I can't wait to see this person fight
No,
Mighty Mouse, right? They fought
you know
before,
what?
And I can't wait to see it again. There isn't that.
I'll say that after Sunday, and that's why. I guess it was early Sunday. Yeah, whatever. I'll say that after Sunday that I'm excited. I want them to make this fight now. I don't need to see anybody else. I don't want to see this dude fight anybody else. You know what? He did what he can in this division that doesn't seem to have a lot of depth perceptually, and he's undefeated, and he's a gold medalist, and he made his weight. What else do you want the guy to do when you essentially have a champion that's cleaned out the division? You've talked about that before, too.
Cleaned out, and the only two guys that were legit threats, Ali Bagatinov tests positive for steroids, and John Lineker can't make weight. So you'd literally take those two guys out of the discussion because they're not there. The rest of the guys in there, there isn't an excitement to see part two between Demetrius Johnson and anybody else. I think you're 1,000% right. This is the fight that you need to make. And speaking of fights made, one of the ones that Ken was very excited to hear happening has happened. We will talk about it next. It is Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show. Way of the Warrior, Eric Hultgren, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. I told you a fight that Ken has been pining to see happen and where he wants to have happen is going to happen on August 1st at UFC 190. It is rumored, I should say, that Ronda Rousey will fight Beth Correa in Brazil.
Yeah, HSBC Arena.
HSBC Arena.
That
on
sounds
August
pretty. 1st. That sounds pretty set.
Yeah, no, I mean, but it hasn't been.
It's on
been,
Wikipedia for has, those of you on Meerkat watching.
It's
I'm showing
on
you
Wikipedia
right now,
and it's also rumored pretty much everywhere. But this totally is a fight that I think people are excited about, and certainly Ronda said she wanted to fight Beth Correa in her home universe, and so she'll be in Brazil at the HBC Arena again. Anytime you can get Ronda, and I know that you and I have talked about what is after July in the UFC look like? You know, when literally everybody has fought, what are we going to see? We're going to see
Aldo McGregor.
You're going to see Aldo McGregor. You're going to see Ronda Rousey and Beth. And then we're going to see Cain and Verdum. Those are all set between July and the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
What else are you going to see? I don't know. It depends on what happens. I would imagine it depends on what happens between Aldo and McGregor. Because if McGregor's healthy and wins, or Aldo's healthy and wins, you could get those guys back in the fray. You also have Demetrius Johnson fighting Horiguchi. You could get Demetrius Johnson, if he's successful against Horiguchi, which I absolutely think he will be. You could put that Cejudo fight next towards the end of the year. You put that on Fox. And then they're going to be in a couple places in the world this towards the end of the year. So you've got some of the...
They've got one pay-per-view in Australia, too.
Yeah, you've got that, and you've got the feature fights that you like to talk about. And let's not forget, they have a date saved for MSG. There's a Madison Square Garden date saved because they feel that MMA will be legalized before the end of the year.
Shaking my head no for those of you on Meerkat.
Ken is telling
me. Is that even working?
Yeah, it's totally working.
It's working as well as MMA in New York right now.
Right. Well, MMA in New York is not working. I don't. You don't think at all? I'm still like, this was not.
Well, I literally got the dates in front of me just because I was trying to look up that Rousey Carrera location, and I don't know. I don't know where you'd put it. I mean, you're running quickly out of time here, and it doesn't seem like it. But I mean, you've got a pretty full slate here first half of the year.
What about your Frank Mir Brock Lesnar 3 and New Year's Eve in New York City?
Sure. Let's do that.
But you don't think that they're going to pass
this? He's headlined MSG before, so he'll have the experience.
He will have the experience. You don't think that that's going to get passed?
I don't care at this point. I honestly don't. I mean, we did this 4 or 5 years ago.
Four or five times. Just because
had a date. We had a date. It was like, I remember it was a November and whatever year
November,
that was happening.
November 20th, I think it was the date. But this is the thing that drives me crazy about this state is that you have amateur MMA, you have kickboxing, you have karate, you have judo, you have professional
wrestling.
You have
super corrupt boxing.
You have boxing. All of those things are okay. But
super
this,
corrupt boxing. We don't need to dance around it.
This is the one where everyone's going to shake their head and go, no, oh no, whoa, no, come on now. We're not going to do this here in this state where it's illegal to
drink. That's why I don't care.
It's illegal to drink soda. We're not going to do that here.
Yeah, it's a nanny state. It's what you get with the liberals. No MMA, and you can only have 7 ounces of Diet Dr. Pepper.
Welcome to Diet Dr. Pepper,
by the way.
Welcome to the Sean Hannity MMA show with Ken Evans talking about the nanny state.
We're going to talk to Governor Cuomo in a minute
we've got a card, Fox Sports 1.
Wait, are we done with the Rousey talk?
No, we can talk about that.
No, I will find it interesting to see on this one, too. This is probably the longest break she's had, right?
Hands down.
Because
yeah.
we're going.
Because
they
want her to fight in every event.
This is a 6-month break for her. February.
Which I think will be awesome.
Will it? That's the only intrigue we have left in this fight.
I mean, it is
in Brazil, so that'll be interesting.
You give her 6 months off. I mean, imagine what has happened.
Is she going to be that John Jones type where she's trying to find now some different way to win now that she's got some time to work on something in the gym?
This is what I'm saying. Like, if you look at, when Sean and Joe were on Facebook sending me that video of Gegard Mousasi smashing her in a Strikeforce ring, right, as they were rolling around from 3.5-4 years ago. Like, if you look at that Ronda Rousey, not even in that video, but just that time frame, Ronda Rousey in Strikeforce, her striking was hot garbage, right? From then until now, it's gotten so much better. And granted, she didn't need to use it in her last fight, but her striking has gotten a lot better. Can you imagine that she has 6 months to work on whatever she wants to work on before she needs to show up?
Well,
for the fight?
If she's going to do that, is she in the gym? I've seen her on Twitter. She's in the gym, but I mean, there's that movie thing she talked about. This will be where you kind of ramp up a lot of the speculation. You go, she's going to a foreign country. She's going to fight Beth in her home country.
She did the Olympics. Like,
he's rolling his eyes.
I'm rolling my eyes because she was in the Olympics. Like, they just travel. It's just what they do, and it's just how they're wired. What is more interesting to me is when you're not actually training and you're actually now learning new skills, right? She doesn't need to get in the gym and get in shape because she's always in shape. So she now has 6 months to just kind of experiment with different things, train at different camps, learn different moves, and see how she wants to work that into her repertoire.
I do think it's interesting, though. She does have 6 months to think about one opponent. We don't have to talk about Cyborg because that's the one weird thing that's always hung over Ronda Rousey's head is she's kind of been on this 6 to 8 week fight schedule. And every time she's on the 6 to 8 week fight schedule, we're counting out her opponent, and probably for good reason. And everybody's going, but when's she going to fight Cyborg? Well, you got this giant window. Cyborg doesn't get a fight with Ronda Rousey for at least 6 months. Ronda's got to at least be happy about that. She shouldn't have to endure any talk like that. I'm sure we'll get back to it pretty quick here in the next month or two because she's got an opponent in Brazil who's Brazilian, pretty good. This will be the first time I think Ronda's really had to travel like this as well. So, I mean, there's enough in play here to go, she's most dominant fighter probably in any division in MMA, but there's this, 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 and this. That'll be interesting to see how she works that out.
The other interesting note this week is supposedly on Monday you were supposed to see Anderson Silva and Nick Diaz get their dose of medicine for both of them.
I didn't know that.
We were.
This is where we missed Joe on the show.
We were.
Who reads all the press releases.
And then they were... strangely taken off the agenda. Now, Nick Diaz is currently on the agenda, but they both asked for extensions to develop their defense.
Wait, what?
Yes. So they were supposed to be in front of the Nevada Athletic Commission Monday of this week, March 23rd, in Vegas. They will not be there as they're trying to figure out how they're going to defend themselves, which I find interesting on two accounts. One, because as Joe has talked about and you have talked about, this is Nick's fourth go-around with marijuana in MMA, so likely it's going to be a stiff penalty because it's his fourth time. And then what's going to happen?
Regardless what you think of the weed.
Regardless of what you think of the weed, which I'm on the same bandwagon of what you're thinking.
We love
about.
The weed. Is that – you're on board?
Whatever you want to think. I just think it's a stupid thing that you just don't need to deal with. But it's
you're saying you know a guy.
I always know a guy.
All right.
But with Anderson Silva, they're clearly need some more time to figure out the my leg hurt, so I took it, so therefore I was on it.
You know what?
Of, kind of.
I can't even critique either of these guys for doing it because the NAC is so – ridiculous in its judgments and its punishments. The fact that you ask for more time, I don't think is going to hurt you because they're still going to basically backdate this thing to the suspension that's already in place with whatever their decision is. Does that make sense? They're not going to go a year from when these dudes show up if that's going to be the punishment, quote unquote. They're going to go a year from whenever the last fight was, and that I don't even remember what it was called. Temporary suspension?
Yes, it's a temporary suspension. As they figure out what they actually – it's just like court, right? You get put on probation until we tell you what you're actually going to get.
So this is actually smart because these guys, if they want to take a little more time, I don't think – the pluses and minuses here, there's no minuses as far as the NAC goes. They're just going to backdate the suspension to whatever time those guys stop fighting. So if there's a little more time that Nick can think of something or Anderson can think – can speak less and less English. He was doing pretty good with English until he started asking him about the drugs.
Yes.
And then he turned into Sammy Sosa back in the steroid era.
That's my favorite Sammy Sosa.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're a big fan because you were in Chicago.
I
guy
was.
Speaking great English.
Total.
Until you're doing steroids? Huh? No. What? Huh? I go downfield.
So there's that. They will not be on the card, so to speak, on Monday. That said, you can still see it on Fight Pass, and I highly recommend it. It is some of the best MMA.
Every time I go to cancel Fight Pass,
right?
I remember there's an NSAC here, and I want to hear
one of these.
I don't think that was necessarily their marketing plan.
But it largely is their marketing plan. Also, this weekend, we head to Brazil. Fox Sports 1 for UFC Fight Night 62 as Damian Maia takes on another undefeated fighter. We've talked about two so far with Henry Cejudo and Johanna Jędrzejczyk. And now we've got another one. Ryan LaFlair, also undefeated at 11-0. That will be the main event. And then Josh Koscheck clearly wants to retire with a concussion as he's back in action after only 3 weeks.
What was this? Okay, Josh, calm down.
Right.
He must listen to the show because I was actually really excited after he was able to kind of get through the fight the way he did. And I totally wrote him off.
Choked out standing up?
Right, but I remember – go download 346 or whatever it was.
Right.
I said in that fight, you know what? I was done with Josh Koscheck until that fight. I don't mind seeing him take some other fights. That's not what I meant, Josh.
You didn't mean in
2.5 weeks?
Like,
okay. I didn't mean 3 weeks later.
Yeah,
so
taking out a serial killer named Eric Silva.
Yeah.
Who obviously, if you've followed Eric Silva's career, he is up and down and up and down. They thought he was going to be the next thing in that division. He clearly hasn't kind of figured that part out, but still a terrible fight for Josh Koscheck to take on short notice. An absolutely terrible, terrible fight to take on short notice.
I do love the marketing that they've done around this fight. On the newsletter lists, and if you go to the websites and such, they're trying to make the lemonade out of the fact that both their champions lost the week before. Hey, wouldn't be Saturday without a UFC. You don't want to miss what everybody's talking about on Monday because everybody was talking about the fact that everybody got blown up last weekend. So that's their hook now for their events is we don't know what the F's going to happen. You might as well watch, right? Right.
Yeah, so that will be the weigh-ins will be today at 3:00. So in a couple hours, you will get that. And then the card, the main event, will be 10 p.m. Eastern on Fox Sports 1 tomorrow night. We will have all the coverage on Facebook and Twitter by just searching WOW Show. And then one other thing before we take off, we talked about Johnny Hendricks and his fight against Matt Brown and how it wasn't necessarily title fight worthy. Well, Tyrone Woodley didn't think so either, and he thinks UFC 189 in July is just the right call for Johnny Hendricks to fight Tyrone Woodley in July at UFC.
I wouldn't mind that fight.
189.
I wouldn't mind that fight at all. I like that fight a lot because you've got a situation here where you want to see where Hendricks is, and this is one of those things, and I sort of feel bad for Johnny Hendricks in a way because I still think he won that fight against St. Pierre, and I think since then things have kind of – they've not gone off track, so to speak, but it certainly, I don't think, helped him out in the way that that win would have and where that would have set him up. I mean, you're hearing a lot of weird things, too, about his team right now, where those dudes, like, spent all his money, like, oops, sorry.
Sorry about that.
Right.
And while, while you and your wife were making meals all Sunday long and we weren't dealing with Dolce, right. We were out spending it all.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're hearing weird team problems and all of this stuff. So you've got to kind of find out where Johnny Hendricks is. You're not that impressed if you're in the fight game, so to speak. And this isn't me necessarily, but there's a lot of guys saying that's not what he needed to do in that fight against Matt Brown.
Well, I
think Tyron Woodley gives him an opportunity to prove something, right?
Absolutely, because Woodley's always a game opponent.
And I love that Woodley's smart enough to call out the card with McGregor on it. Like, everybody's going to buy this dude's card. Let's get on that
dude,
card.
Let's get on that. Well, I mean, you know, you remember if we go back a couple cards that Ronda Rousey and Weidman kind of said the same thing, you know, because they had been on two cards together and had tremendous performances and said, hey, maybe we should pal up because people buy a ton of these pay-per-views and we both have great nights when we're on the same card together. That's of course why they were on that card with Kat Zingano until
Chris, it became Rousey headlining,
until Chris got hurt and then it became Rousey headlining. Same sort of thought here is that, you know, Woodley knows that everybody's going to tune in for this thing, and if you can put on a stunning performance, like you just said in the first segment, if Woodley can go out there and shellack Hendricks, which
both of those dudes would have a great opportunity
totally
there.
Because you want to get on deck, and the fastest way to get on deck is to follow the Matt Brown model, right? Matt was, for a while, the more he won, the further away he got until it was just time that you couldn't ignore him, to go back to what you were saying about JDS and Kane, right? Matt Brown won enough fights that you were like,
well,
okay.
I love Woodley wanting this card, too, because it's never a terrible idea to be the same weight as one of the championship fights on the card, because that's where they're going to put Lawler, right?
I believe, yes.
That's where they want to do Lawler and Rory. So if you're a welterweight and you want to be in contention and you're that high up, it doesn't hurt to put yourself on the card where there could be a welterweight championship fight. You never know what's going to happen to a dude.
And those are the only two fights right now, is Lawler, McDonald, Aldo, and McGregor. So,
that's very astute. And if you're Hendricks, don't you want the same thing? If you're Hendricks right now... And people are saying, no, you don't necessarily get your title shot. Well, why don't you go in there and, you know, you never know in Canada. You're riding your bike. Rory McDonald could flip over.
All of a sudden, Patrick Cote runs out and scares you.
He could run into the CN Tower. Who knows what's happening up there? A moose could trip you. I've been an advocate for this since we've kind of seen these cards blow up a little bit. If you're in a weight division and you see there's a championship fight happening, get yourself on that card. Because you never know. You never know.
Like
and all this talk about Matt Brown and Johnny Hendricks. Johnny Hendricks gets on the card, or Tyron Woodley gets on the card, and Rory McDonald hurts himself. You know, I wouldn't mind either of those guys in a fight, but you could certainly put Johnny Hendricks in there. Nobody's going to argue at that point.
And I totally agree with
you.
And
then Woodley goes, I didn't get my fight, so can I have a title shot next time? It's very smart. It's very smart.
So we'll see if that gets inked, but I think that's a great move, especially if Hendricks is healthy enough to do that in July, has plenty of time to stay on weight. And my suggestion to him is stay on weight, dude. Like, you looked great in this fight, health-wise and shape-wise. Just stay
there. This whole team thing, if you haven't heard anything about the story, it's a lot to get into right now, but it's fascinating to kind of see what went on. And it's kind of amazing to see the level he's been able to maintain when you really kind of start to look into what it looks – this team looks like it's a mess. And he's tried not to abandon the dudes, because usually you get a UFC title holder, you expand your team.
Right.
You're able to bring in coaches and do all kinds of things. And this team's essentially the same team he's come up with, which got him where he is. But they're spending all of his money, and they don't seem to be able to figure out how to run the actual gym in a way that is beneficial. Because at a certain point, you pick your guy. It's the same reason Rashad Evans had to leave his team. Because everybody, well, John's here. I'm sorry.
John's the guy. I got to go find my place.
So, you know, Johnny's the guy. Everything should be kind of built towards that fighter and figuring out the best way to help him. And in this case, it looks like a lot of it's been squandered. They've been taking loans out from their championship fighter. Like, Johnny's a loyal dude, but I think he needs to get out of there.
Yeah, and you know, that's always the problem, obviously, when you come into money. There's always the chance of you running into, and this is a weird way to connect these two things, but you run into the MC Hammer syndrome, right? Like, you bring all of your people with you, and they take all your money, and then you...
And it's even harder in fighting, because, I mean, it's really, even though it's one dude in there, it's always a team sport.
Sure.
It's always a team sport. And these guys, I'm not saying they didn't get him where he is, but it's been fascinating to kind of see this. This has bubbled up over like the last 2 weeks, and obviously a lot of people looked at it because Johnny was on the last fight card. It's really strange to kind of see what's been happening there.
And we'll keep an eye on that and let you know. But if that gets inked at UFC 189, we will let you know. Follow us on Twitter and on Facebook at Wow Show. This weekend, UFC Fight Night 62, Damian Maia, Ryan LaFlair. Should be a really interesting fight. Two guys who have a lot to prove at that weight division. Ryan LaFlair undefeated, not scared to grapple. So we'll cover all of that stuff, and you can watch for free on Fox Sports 1.
Now you have cable. Well, I'm just saying, though, they busted that streamer. Did you see that?
They did bust the streamer,
They busted probably the most prolific, is that the right word?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Streamer of pay-per-view events in the world in the UK a couple weeks ago. So for those of you relying on streams and torrents to show up for the fights, it might not be the case anymore.
So perhaps maybe check in with MMA Share, make sure that they're okay.
All right. Now, well, they're going to be gone now, too. Way to go.
All right, have a great weekend.
Hope you didn't want that.
We will talk to you next week.